If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We've been looking at the book of Proverbs in regards to our family. And at the beginning of February, we looked at some instructions, kind of some general guidelines. And then we talked about Proverbs in regards to dads and fathers. And then Thursday, we looked at some instruction to youth. This morning, we looked at instructions from the book of Proverbs in regards to a gracious woman. And hopefully that was helpful. And tonight, we're going to park again with the kiddies. All right? Park again with the kiddies. So in Joshua chapter 24, I've been using these kind of as introduction. The Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then in Psalm 127, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to be looking at a couple of verses here in Proverbs chapter 1. And speaking of children, I read this and I thought it was true. Poverty is hereditary. You can get it from your children. And I thought that was a very appropriate thought. And as we start out thinking about children, just remember, parents, they can send you into bankruptcy. All right, but in Proverbs chapter 1, you'll notice that right away in Proverbs 1, it's written by Solomon to his son. And you see that in verse 8. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother." Verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And then verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path." And we read this passage on Thursday in verse 20. Now wisdom starts speaking, and I think dad is substituting wisdom in for himself and saying, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse and the openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, How long, ye simple ones?" We've tried to explain a little bit of what that means. That simple one means somebody that is without knowledge. Either they're refusing it, or they're younger and so they're simple, and they need to be taking in knowledge so they begin the process of understanding and wisdom. "But how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools," guess what? Simple, "if you don't take knowledge, you become foolish, and you hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you." So our desire this evening is to look at a couple ideas from the book of Proverbs, continuing the thoughts kind of from Thursday night, instructions to youth from the book of Proverbs. Again, the Bible, we've taken it as our theme throughout kind of the beginning of the year in 2019 that we're distinct. We are distinct in the area of preaching, and we believe preaching is biblical. Preaching and the preaching of God's word specifically is biblical. Lifting up Christ and Him crucified. Lifting up the gospel that's found in the Bible, and we're supposed to be doing that. And one of the things that we preach and teach as we were looking at scripture is the instruction to Timothy. There was a lot of instruction about family in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And so as a church, we try to help homes. And so we've been looking specifically at the home in regards to what the book of Proverbs says. And so that's what we're going to consider this evening. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us as we look at scripture, that you would help us as especially youth that are sitting out. We have so many young children, and we have youth that some have grown up and now they're older, Lord, and they have children. But Lord, I pray that we would understand how important the instruction to youth is. And Lord, we would not forsake it. And specifically tonight, I pray that our youth would listen, and they would pay attention, and they would understand from the book of Proverbs that God speaks to them. doesn't just speak to adults in our church. He speaks to them. And he wants them to understand from God's word instruction so that they can be better in the home. I pray that you would bless us. Always do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a story in it. This was true, and I'm using it as a illustration. You'll see it's kind of silly, but many years ago, there was a shoplifter who wrote to a department store. He wrote to the department store the following. He said, "I've just become a Christian, and I can't sleep at night because I feel guilty, so here's $100 that I owe you." At the end of the letter, there was a P.S., and it said the following. "If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest that I owe." Now, I tell this story as we begin because I think sometimes as we come to church, we have the same idea. God, you convicted me a little. I'll come forward and get a little bit of it right if you leave me alone so I can go home and sleep. And my desire and my prayer is that maybe we'd make a change and tonight we get all the way right. Let's finish that job all the way. Not just so that it appeases my conscience. Let's get right so that God's pleased with us. And that's our desire. So we got two ideas that come in the book of Proverbs. I want to look at some instructions to youth, and then I want to look at some blessings when we follow the instructions. So first, some instructions to youth from the book of Proverbs, and I boiled it down to two categories. There's a whole lot of other things, and someday we'll look at some more instructions to youth because really the book of Proverbs is written to youth. Right? There is written, as we've been seeing, there's some instructions to dads, there's instructions to moms, wives, but a lot of it is written to youth because we see that over and over, and you'll see that as we come to it. But there's two main things that are the instructions to youth that come into these categories. We're not going to deal with a lot of the integrity or character issues. Someday we'll cover those, and we cover those a lot. But two main things, and I boil them down into two areas. One, we should appreciate godly parents as youth. And secondly, you should respect and honor your parents as youth. So two categories that the book of Proverbs instructs young people. And I'm talking all young people here. All right. We have 3-year-olds that sit in here, and I'm hoping that even at 3-year-olds, we can hit you between the eyes tonight. And that is you appreciate your godly parents. And then secondly, that you honor and respect them. So what does it mean to appreciate your godly parents? All right. And that's what I want to kind of address first. Nowhere in the book of Proverbs, in fact, I looked it up. All right, I went through and did my search. Nowhere in the book of Proverbs does it say, tell your parents you love them. I was like, what? It's not there. Yes. All right. So nowhere, kids, you never have to tell your parents you love them. All right, because you could say, I'm just trying to be wise. All right, I'm being a wise use of my words. All right, and so, no. But that's not why it's not in there. It is, however, I believe, written all over in the context, in the instructions, throughout the book. Why do I believe that? Because what did Jesus say to his followers? If you love me, keep my commandments. So all through the book of Proverbs, what you hear dad saying is, heed my instruction, follow my instruction, listen to my instruction. And that's how, listen young people, that's how you say I love you to mom and dad. You don't say I love you, you can verbalize it, and you should verbalize it to mom and dad, but some of you verbalize it while you sass them. You know what? That's rebellion. All right. That's not being a godly youth. That's being an ungodly youth. And so, hey, mom and dad, I want to buy you this. Hey, it's Valentine's Day and I know I said something bad. You know what? Just learn to shut your mouth. That's what you should do. Just be quiet a little bit and get control. Ask mom and dad for some help in controlling your mouth. That might be helpful. So as youth, how do we appreciate our parents? How do we tell them? By our actions that we love them. Well, I found three areas in the book of Proverbs that shows our, actually four areas, that we find how we can say, Mom, Dad, I love you. How do we say that? Well, first, by placing value on their instruction. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And Proverbs 15:5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So a prudent young man is one, a prudent young woman, a prudent youth, a child is one that hears and regards the reproof that is given them. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. So what does this mean? By placing value on the instruction, I respect their instruction. What does that mean? To regard, to have regard, in design and purpose, to have regards in relation or connection, to view or consider with some degree of reverence, to look towards. Those are all definitions from the dictionary about what respect is and what I'm supposed to do in regards to placing value on my father and mother's instruction. So as young people here this evening, all right, how much do you value their instruction? What do I mean by that? You respect it. That means you have regard to it. You reverence their opinion. And I'm not talking, all right, there's some of you that are 40 years old or 35 years old. I'm not talking about that age, okay? Hopefully at 35 and 40 years old, if you're still, crawling back to mommy and daddy and they got to tell you what laundry detergent to use, you get issues, all right? And you need therapy, okay? You need a whole bunch of things. Obviously something went wrong, all right? And if that's you, all right, coming afterwards, we'll be up here to help you, all right? But what we're not talking about when you're 35 or 40. What we're talking about is youth here. And we have a lot of young people here. We got a lot of kids here. And it seems like, it's just mom and dad. Oh, well, the youth pastor said this. The pastor said this. Well, maybe your dad and mom said it, and that's very important. Learn to listen and respect. That means I love you to mom and dad. By placing value on their instruction. Secondly, by listening to your parents. That's, you say, well, where is that at? Proverbs 1 and verse 8. My son, what's the next word? I know you're not there. Proverbs 1:8. My son, what? Hear. All right, look at Proverbs 2 and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou, what's that? Incline thine what? Are you sure that was it, so that you don't open your mouth? That's what some of you, and that means even some of you that are older. As soon as mom and dad sit you down and they start telling you something, it's like sit down, release trap. All of a sudden, it's your idea. No, we should have a discussion about this. You know what you need to do? Shut the yap. Close that thing. Mom and dad have wisdom you don't have. That's why they're mom and dad, and you're not. So learn to listen to them. Notice what it's saying here. My son, hear. My son, receive. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know. Look at verse 2. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Look at Proverbs 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and notice what it says. Bow thine, what? Lips? Is the yap supposed to be running again? It's the ear. What does bowing indicate? submission, doesn't it? And some young people sitting here, okay, and I'm not necessarily, there could be a three-year-old sitting here, and I'm telling you, the submission thing starts cranking right at about 2 and 3, but some of you, you're 17, 18. Mom and dad, the Bible tells you, bow your ear to them. It's an act of submission. I know you know a lot. All right, because you've never paid a bill in your life. You've never owned a house. You've never worked a full-time job and had to pay your own thing. But I give it to you. You know a lot. And I know it's a little sarcasm there. Eat it. Okay? And guess what? Parents have brought you into this life. And some with a lot of turmoil. Right? Every birth basically is that. And so they brought you into this life, and then their job, and if it's godly parents, their job is to come alongside and to train you and to help you to understand what godliness is and the results and consequences of sin. And some of that, as we're going to see, if you love your parents, some of that, and if your parents love you, it's correction. It is correction. Good parents correct their children. And so what is the Bible telling us? It's telling us that if I love my parents, I appreciate them. How do I show it? By placing value on their instruction, but also by listening. You know, it's interesting. I looked up and I thought it was interesting because it's the world. In Forbes magazine, right, which if you don't know Forbes magazine is written to kind of entrepreneurs. It's written to business folks, business leaders. Forbes magazine had a litany of articles on how to listen. You know what I thought? Here's a bunch of CEOs and business leaders that should have been spanked a little bit more so that they could learn how to listen. Because what they know how to do is talk a lot. But the Bible instructs us to listen. In fact, Christ, remember his disciples? He says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. I jotted down just a couple ideas about listening. Listening. What should you do as a young person? All right, I know this because this, some of my children get this instruction from their gracious mom, virtuous mom. All right, I've heard it. You know what will help you as a young person to listen? Face the person that's speaking to you. Face them. When mom and dad start talking to you, turn around. What do you need, mom? What do you need, dad? That's what means that you're listening. That means you hear. That means you're attentive. You don't walk away. You walk away, it's showing rebellion. It's showing an attitude. And guess what you do need? You need something upside the backside. That's what you need. You need a stick upside. You need walloped a little bit. Even as a little kid can hear your voice, and they should hear your voice, mom and dad. And when you're not helping them to understand, mom and dad are the king and queen. They are. You may say even as an older teenager, you know what, I'm growing up. When you start paying your own bills, when you're out of your house, that's when you can say, you know what, I'm not listening as much. And you know what I find? When you're out of the house, then all of a sudden you're wanting to listen a little more. Because you start understanding that maybe you didn't have as much knowledge and wisdom as dad did have and mom did have. So what does it mean to listen? It means to face the person you're talking to. Give eye contact. It means be attentive to it. What does that mean? Be present. Give attention. Apply and direct yourself. Pay attention. Remain ready to serve. Also, if you're going to listen to your parents, listen to the words. I know this is just ground level here. But some of you, as little children, mom and dad say, hey, I want you to do this. You're not facing them. It's a sign of rebellion. Sorry. Face mom and dad. Listen to them. And then be attentive to the words. What are they telling you? What are they telling you to do? If you don't understand it, young people, repeat it back. Are you telling me to make my bed? That may not be understandable to you. So do you want me to go make my bed right now? It's better to get clarification. That's called listening. All right, even in business world, you know where some of this comes from? Forbes magazines are writing to corporate leaders. Can you imagine that? Face the person you're speaking to. Like, where did you grow up? How old are you? But you know what? I got a lot of young people. And you start talking to them and they start heading out the door. Parents, come on. Let's get at it. Teach them. Teach them what it means to listen. And that starts at a very young age. Because when you start saying something, they start walking away. You say, young man, I'm talking to you. And if they keep going, lock the door. Sleep outside. And you may not like that, but guess what, as dad and mom, what you're doing is you're putting the seeds into their heart that eventually is going to lead down a bad road. And that's from the book of Proverbs. Because a wise king said, son, listen to me. Incline your ear. Bow it down to my words. So what does it mean to listen better? It means to face the speaker. Give eye contact. Be attentive. Listen to the words. Uh-oh. Don't interrupt. Don't interrupt. Again, love that term. Close the yap. Okay? Shut that thing. It just seems to open up when someone's giving you instruction. No. No, they're the biggie person. You're the smallie person. Okay? So you take that instruction. It's not your time to start talking. And that means, all right, we got a lot of parents. All right, some of this is kind of both. We're teaching our little kids. We're trying to help them. But that means, mom and dad, you want to put this instruction into them. Put that instruction into them so that they understand, hey, you know what? Dad, mom are talking. That means you don't talk. Now, it can be irritating. I understand that. That happens every Sunday night. It happens every Thursday night. When we're coming down, we're going to say hi to somebody, and here's your little brat, and he comes like, ah, nah, nah, nah. You're like, hey, dad's talking. Mom's talking. You know what? Keep doing it, please. I appreciate that, parents. I know they're not going to. I know you'd say, you know, when are they going to learn? I don't know. I think there's like 50-year-olds in here that haven't learned that. Okay, because, man, it just, you're sitting there talking and they come walking up like, no, no, no. Like, you know what? Sit down. Sit down. Quiet. Okay. But I think sometimes we get irritated or we're like, we're embarrassed as a parent. I'm not embarrassed if you're not embarrassed, parents. In fact, sometimes I'm embarrassed when you don't do it. So do it. Why? Because what are you doing? I don't think a 5-year-old's going to know that much. I don't think an 8-year-old's going to know that. And how are they going to know if you don't instruct them? So keep instructing them. Keep instructing them. Keep instructing them and say, hey, no. You face me. I'm talking to you. Be attentive. Listen to my words. Focus on my words. And you don't interrupt. All of that is called listening. Listening. And then, here's a clue, little guys. If you still don't understand if mom and dad really meant to make the bed, ask it. Say, you just got done with family devotions. You got breakfast and you got to get to school. And mom said, hey, did you remember this and this? And you're running and running and you stop yourself and say, so did you mean that before I go to school? I'm just giving you a little heads up because probably she did. And if you don't do it when you get home, you're going to get a spanking. So guess what? Asking those questions helps you. It makes this not hurt so bad in the backside. Because it saves you a couple of spankings. Why? Because what are you doing? You're saying, hey, you know what? Did mom really mean what she said? I think so. Pretty much. But if you're not sure, ask. So what is the Bible telling us? And I know this is very simple, but what is the Bible telling us? We need to appreciate our parents, young people. So how do you appreciate them? Oh, I love you. I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. And you're mouthing off to them. No, you don't love them. That's why as a pastor, when I see those actions, I know that you don't really care for your parents. It's just a bunch of words because your actions are saying something completely different. So how do I show my parents that I love them? By placing value on their instruction, by listening to them. Then look at Proverbs 5 and verse 1 and 2. My son, attend unto my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Proverbs 23 and verse 19. 23:19, it says this, hear thou my son and be wise and guide thine heart in the way. So guess what mom and dad can help you with? Dad and mom can help you by gaining wisdom and knowledge from them. Mom and dad have been given wisdom and knowledge. And so how do I show that I love them? By listening to them. By placing value on their instruction. But one of the things that I also do is I watch them and I ask them about helps in that. Why are you doing that? I know, okay, I am not saying at 3, 4, and 5. Okay, I can tell you this. That stage, the why stage, I don't know. Why does the door open? Because I just did. That's why the door opened. All right. Why is it raining? Because it rains. All right. Every time. Why does the window come down? All right. Why did the timer go off? I'm telling you, I understand why some of you probably are in therapy. Okay. Because I had to go through the same thing and I don't know. You know, it's just like, and that's why I think Bose came out with noise-canceling headphones. All right? I'm thinking that's why, because Bose must have been sitting there in the car with his kids, and he's like, how could I get this on my ears? All right? How could I do that? All right, so I am not saying at 3, 4, and 5, but guess what happens? That you've seen this at maybe 7 or 8, 9, 10, hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. So I was thinking about this. Create an atmosphere in your home that questions are wanted, Mom and Dad. Have them ask you. And children, ask Mom and Dad. Ask Mom and Dad. So why'd you do that? All right, again, if you're 3, 4, and 5, this is probably the only time you just started listening anyways. This is not for you. Okay, so go back to sleep and wake up at the next point. What I'm saying is some of you that are youth, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, man, pepper them with questions. Ask them. It'll help you. Because mom and dad have wisdom and knowledge. Gain that from them. Then in Proverbs chapter 3, we said there's a couple of things. We're going to try to finish this evening sometime. So Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, So that's again written to the son. Neither be weary of his correction. So it's talking about the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. But notice, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. So how do I appreciate my parents? How do I appreciate them? Placing value on their instruction, listening to my parents, gaining wisdom and knowledge from it, and then by taking correction properly from my parents. I understand that my parents love me. I'm not talking about abuse. All right? I'm not talking about abuse. What I'm talking about is simple spankings. All right? We believe in spankings. I know it's not popular today. But I'm sorry, the world is really good at child rearing. Oh, they are great. I mean, we've got all kinds. I mean, just look at Justin Bieber. I mean, he's got grace tattooed right here now. Because he's a born-again believer. Amen. I mean, in fact, he's married now. I mean, I want my marriage. No! That's ridiculous! All right, they have no clue. I'm not going to pattern it after the world. All right, I don't want the world's ideas, and so I go to Scripture. All right, we don't have time to go all through discipline. Discipline would probably take us probably 4 or 5 lessons just to go through just the book of Proverbs on discipline. Then get in the book of Proverbs, dig into it as a dad and mom, and understand what biblical discipline is. It's not just hastiness. It's not anger. Read in the book of Proverbs about anger. What you'll find is an angry man, you don't want to be around him. That's what the book of Proverbs says. Don't be a friend with an angry man. So guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to be angry like, ah, 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 ah. Like, okay, dad's a freak. Because that's exactly the picture you're painting. Now, does it mean that you're not going to be heated sometime? All right, you come in and your son has just almost burned down your house. I would bet you'll probably be a little heated. All right, literally, because the house is hot. All right, but then also you'll be heated because you just tried to burn down the house. All right, now I understand, but you got to calm yourself down. And yes, there should be some discipline and godly discipline. And godly discipline isn't just sitting down and, hey, we're gonna have a palaver. I was telling the teens many years ago, I think a month ago, we were using big words on Thursday night. And palaver and harangue, you know what? There is something good about college. Because in my freshman vocabulary class, I learned those two words. I don't really remember anything else about freshman English and vocabulary, but I remember palaver and harangue. Okay, and what they mean is a discussion. And so here we sit around as a family. We just talk and love each other. No. You know what? Dad and mom should be respected. And I just said that there should be a time that we can get around and talk. But when you do something wrong, listen, little boy, little girl, that's not the time to have a discussion. That's a time for you to get disciplined. And as a young child, learn to understand that means mom and dad love you. They care for you. Because according to the Bible, a father that delights in his son chastens him. Remember in Proverbs, the opposite then must be true. So a father that doesn't care about his son doesn't correct him. And so in our world, as normal, things are twisted, aren't they? And so the world have it all. I mean, if you love them, you're just going to give and give and give them, give them, give them. And what I can say biblically is that parent really doesn't care about their kids. Because a parent that is wise looks and corrects their son, chastens them when they're wrong. And that is a good parent. But then as we're looking at youth, so as a youth, what should you do? Take it. Take that correction. All right, now, I was thinking about this, and I thought we could kind of have a raise a hand of those that like correction. And I'm pretty sure it would kind of be like most of us sitting here. We're like, that's not a good question. Because am I supposed to raise my hand? Because I'm not. You know, because none of us like correction. None of us do. Now, why is it hard to receive correction? You know, sometimes it's hard to receive correction because it's not always done in a way that we felt it was done right. That is the blogosphere today. You know what? That church did not talk to me properly. In fact, that pastor is sarcastic and he uses kind of weird words like doofus, idiot. He uses all kinds. Every once in a while he makes fun of people and he puts his hands on his hips and has a lisp. I mean, there is something wrong with that guy. All right, so I understand. I understand that sometimes correction is not always accepted because we're always looking at that person and we don't see that that's a godly authority. Instead, we're picking apart that person. And just so you know, anybody that comes in to correct you is going to be imperfect. Anybody. Unless you're directly getting feedback from God audibly, and then again, you got issues. Okay, because he's not doing that right now. But I know, all right, I've read the Bible and God seems to audibly, or the Holy Spirit seems to come in and thump me directly. And guess what? Every time, it seems to be pretty right on. I can't really complain about that. But there's other times, because guess what? All through the Bible, starting in the book of Genesis, all the way through to the book of Revelation, guess what God uses on this earth? Men. And women. He uses us. Isn't that how the gospel? Jesus even himself said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers into the field. So who's supposed to do the job of spreading the gospel? We are. So God uses men. And he uses men to spread the gospel. He uses men also. What does it say in Hebrews? Provoke one another unto good works. That means sometimes we're not straight as far as we're kind of out of kilter, and somebody else sees that and they come up and they say, hey, so you weren't at church. I'm like, he didn't say that properly. Instead, we automatically jump to that person. Like, you know what? There was a smirk. I saw it. There was a curl right there. There was a curl right there when they said it. Oh, come on. You know, none of us like correction. None of us do. Why? Because sometimes automatically we look at the person. We don't like correction because the person who delivered it is flawed. You know, another reason we don't like correction is because we love ourselves. Now, you may not own up to that, but we all do. We all love the way we are. We do. And we think our way is perfect. Do I have Bible to back that up? Oh, yeah. Proverbs. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. Every way. So guess what all of us think? It is. All of us think it's my way or the highway. And I'm right. Because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. And so we have to understand that when there's correction, young people, understand no correction is good. In fact, that's what Hebrews 12, it says that it's grievous. It kind of is going along with what we're saying. All right, because if, again, all right, just help me and we'll not try to go too far, but if you're a little young in here, or if you're a teenager and you're running up to me and you're saying, I did bad, beat me. I'm thinking there's issues. All right. There's a whole lot of issues I'm thinking of. All right. It's creepy. All right. But none of us really like discipline like that. I don't want spankings. And I really don't want our kids growing up saying, yeah, I like them. Something's wrong with them. All right, keep them away from me. Why? Why do we not like correction? We start looking at that person that is saying it. But then also, the reason we don't like correction is because we love ourselves. We like our way. So remember that. So learn to take correction properly. Learn to resist being defensive. There's some of you automatically, and I'm saying this could be parents, and then this transfer, just so you know, as parents, this transfers to your children, because remember, they're you. So if you don't get in the Bible and start helping your mindset to get a biblical mindset, when somebody comes to you and automatically your thought is, well, who said it? Who said it? I don't really care who said it. I mean, is there a certain level? Does someone have to present qualifications to you in order for that to be accepted? I mean, is it certified? Right? Has it been stamped by three different individuals? Or is your reaction to say, hey, thanks. You know what? I've been dealing with that with my kids. And I appreciate that because I've been praying for God to reveal some of these things. That's what the attitude should be. Learn to resist that defensive spirit. So we said there's a couple of things in the book of Proverbs. We've seen first that we need to appreciate our parents. The next is that we need to respect and honor them. So you see in Proverbs 19, let's go there, Proverbs 19. And we're going to try to close this down. Proverbs 19 and verse 26. It says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. 28:24. It says, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. And so respect and honoring our parents means that disrespect is shameful. Then look at Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11. I thought this was interesting. Notice what disrespect leads to. And this is very important for our young people to understand. Verse 11 says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation. So what are they doing? That means they don't respect and honor their parents. Look at verse 12. They are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Okay? Oh, how lofty are their eyelids, are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. What is the Bible saying? Disrespect leads to arrogance and leads to rebellion. So it is very important in the home that there is an attitude of honor and respect developed. So guess what? It is not just as we see in our country, what is broken down all across the board. Any authority. And what do we see? Arrogance and rebellion. You know where some of it stems from? Right here. It's taught in the book of Proverbs. You let that come into a society. And so it's in our society. So what do you have to be careful of, parents? Don't let it into your home. You are not. All right. You are. I know people love to say all people are created equal. Negative. Sorry. So you're saying that a person that is born in Madagascar is the same as somebody born in Chesterton? They aren't. Even in America, everybody is not born equal. There are some people sitting here that they were born and they don't have a father in their home. Don't walk up to them and say, hey, everybody's created. No, they're not. Now in America, it's supposed to be that we have the same equal, it's like equal opportunity. Okay? So we can all try to work together. But nobody is created equal. You know, there's some people born into a home and they're millionaires. Other people are born and they're not millionaires. Don't tell me they're created equal. No, they're not. Now, we're all equal in God's eyes as far as we can, anybody can come to God. But sometimes we're silly in our thinking. And so in the home, there is a hierarchy. It's given to us by God. It's Dad. Where do I get that? I find that in the order of creation. I find that when God brought Eve to Adam. I also find it when Christ represented that and talked about it, and then it was solidified in the book of Ephesians when it told us what the role of man and woman were in the home. Now, you may not like it, but then just be blunt and say, I don't like what God says. Don't come up with some unique way of getting around Scripture. Just admit it and say you don't like Scripture. Thank you. All right, then we got somewhere to start. Because God gives that order. And then he continues on in Ephesians and tells us in Ephesians and Colossians where the place of children are. That's God's idea. Not mine, it's God's. And as a church, our job is to be a pillar and ground of the truth, and the truth is Scripture. It's not my own thoughts. It's not my own ideas. We always go to Scripture and say, all right, God, we are going to be upholders of this truth. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. And most of us know this. The world is pretty insane when it comes to family ideas and family values. And so we find in Scripture disrespect is shameful, and disrespect leads to arrogance and rebellion. So this comes in the idea when we're saying disrespect. Disrespect is a disregard for the concern and care of dad and mom. Now, what does this mean? The children should desire to please dad and mom. This should be something that grows in the heart of a young person. There should be a pain and a conviction that is brought on in a child's heart when dad and mom are not pleased. And that's biblical. And this should include their performance in school, their attitudes, their attitude in the home, their overall spiritual temperature. And a good young person is there. And when they respect mom and dad, they lift up mom and dad and they say, what do mom and dad care about my school life and about my spiritual life and about my attitude? And they're saying, what are they thinking? Because they have the right respect for them. And it pains them when mom and dad say, hey, your attitude's off. What do I got to do? How do I change that, Mom? How do I change that, Dad? All right, let's go to Scripture and change it up. That is a biblical youth. A youth that God is pleased with. It's not the world's idea. It's a lot different. Oh, you know what? I got strength. I got stamina. I got character. And you don't treat your mom and dad right. You have a disdain for them. You don't even know what they think about your spiritual life. And you don't really care. You know what I know then? It's a disrespect for your parents, and it's shameful. It's going to lead to arrogance. It's going to lead to rebellion. So let me just close quickly with a couple of benefits, and we'll wrap it up. So all of those are kind of things that in the book of Proverbs, it's saying, here are a couple of things. Appreciate your parents, and here's ways to do it. And then honor and respect your parents, because it's shameful and it leads to arrogance and rebellion if you do not honor and respect them. So what are some benefits? Notice in Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs 2, verses 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Notice verse 5. Then, so what is he saying? If you do this, what's a benefit? Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know, in our homes, and as young people, you know, one of the things that if you appreciate your parents properly and you honor and respect them, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start knowing God better. That's what this says. You'll start understanding God. That's a product of a good godly home. Product of a good godly home is that our children are going to start to understand God better. Man, that seems wonderful. But then look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. Look at verse 22. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. You know what a benefit of appreciating your parents and having the right honor and respect? Not only will you know God better, but it's going to guide and protect you. Listening to godly parents guide you and protect you. That's right here in the text. It's going to lead you. It'll protect you. It'll talk with you. Because all of those things, you know, it's interesting that our hymn this evening, Amazing Grace, did you catch what resonated in his ears? His mom's use of the Word of God. It was there, and it was there, and it was there, and it was there. All he forsook, and that was foolishness to his mom, and it was a shame. That's what he was. But at the end of his life, what happened? All right, or towards the middle of his life, what happened? Those words, God's words, came and just pounded him and pounded him and pounded him. Don't ever neglect the Word of God in your home. The benefit of listening and honoring parents, you'll know God better. You'll be guided and protected. According to Proverbs 4 and verse 20, look at Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. It's life. You'll have a better quality of life when you appreciate and honor your parents. I ask you young people then tonight, so what has your attitude been? Oh, I appreciate. I love them. I wrote them the other day. And you mouthed off? No. The Bible is contradicting you. And you need to change that. Are you listening to them? Are you trying to gain instruction? Are you always mad when you're corrected? You got an attitude. Then get it right. Get it right. Learn to appreciate mom and dad. Learn to honor and respect them biblically. Because guess what? The world, they have their solution to things. And it's not going well for them. It's just rank rebellion and suicide and school shootings. Where's all that stemming from? Because many, many years ago, we decided that we know what's best for our children. And we're not going to listen to God's way. And now we're facing the consequences of not doing it God's way. But don't allow that in our homes. Let's avoid that in our church. It's interesting that, again, that he used only England, because in the only hymns, there was a from England, there was a guy named William Cowper. William Cowper, if you remember, was a contemporary with John Newton. He was a contemporary, and this is what he said. Sin has undone our wretched race, but Jesus has restored and brought the sinner face to face with his forgiving Lord. This we repeat from year to year and press upon our youth. Lord, give them an attentive ear. Lord, save them by thy truth. Blessings upon thy rising, blessings upon the rising face. Make this a happy hour according to thy richest grace and thine almighty power. We feel for your unhappy state and would a while ourselves forget to pour out prayer for you. We see, though you perceive it not, the approaching awful doom. Oh, tremble at the solemn thought and flee the wrath to come. Dear Savior, let this newborn year spread an alarm abroad and cry in every careless ear. Prepare to meet thy God. He wrote that for youth. He wrote that to youth. And he was pleading. He's pleading and saying, hey, be attentive. Be attentive with your ears. So our application to youth. I read this just recently and I thought it would be good to close. Julie and Bob Clark were stunned to receive a letter from their church in July asking them to participate in the life of the church or worship elsewhere. They basically, when they interviewed Julie Clark, they basically called us freeloaders. We were freeloaders, said Bob Clark. And a trend that may signal rough times for Wallflower Christians, megachurch faith community of Winston-Salem has asked non-participating members to stop attending. No more Mr. Nice Church, says the executive pastor newly hired from Singular Wireless. Bigger is not always better, providing free services indefinitely so complacent Christians can just have their ease is not our mission. Freeloading Christians were straining the church's nursery and facility resources and harming the church's ability to reach the lost, says the pastor. When your bottom line is saving souls, you get impatient with people who interfere with that goal. Faith communities sent polite but firm letters to families who attended church services and freebie events but never volunteered. The church estimates that of its 8,000 regular attendees, only half have volunteered in the last 3 years. Before now, we made people feel comfortable and welcome and tried to coax them to give a little something in return, says a staff member. That's changed. We're done being the community nanny. Now think about that. Now just so you know, that was made up. All right, that actually didn't happen. But I thought it would be funny. But then I thought about our homes. And I thought about some of the children and youth growing up here. And you know what you are? A bunch of freeloaders. Because you're sitting in your home and you're like, give me, give me, give me. And you're no prophet in your home. And you know why you're no prophet? Because you're not following the biblical directive to appreciate your parents, honor your parents, respect your parents, and learn to be an integral part of that home. And that includes service. That includes doing stuff in the house. You know, a 2-year-old walks by and is like, hey, give me that. But some of you 12-year-olds are still doing it. And that's why at the end of an activity, now watch, Tuesday night, it'll be different because I mentioned it. But it's sad to me when I talk to some of the staff members and after a junior high activity or after a senior high activity, I have to assign somebody to clean a bus. You're a freeloader. That means you're a baby as a Christian. You're not understanding the growth that you should be making and taking as young people. God help us. God help us in our church. All right? Our adults here are not here for your every whim and wish. Give me. You know what? Learn to appreciate your parents. Learn to appreciate the authority that is here. Learn to respect and honor that. And you know what that'll transfer to? It'll transfer to listening to them. Hey, what do you need? Hey, how can I help out? I read that illustration, and I thought of our homes. God, help us not to have young people grow up in our homes that end up being freeloaders. No. You know what we need? A good Christian has a middle name. It's called serve. That's what he is. Remember Paul? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And may God help us in our homes to train up our young people properly so that they aren't freeloaders, so that they no longer are like the world. Isn't that what I call it, the Paris Hilton syndrome? We don't even, most young people now don't even know who that is. All right, we have another one to replace it. I used to call it the Paris Hilton syndrome. Remember? Miss whatever stupidity that had, I really think, this Tic Tac. This right here, this Tic Tac had more brains. Alright? It had more. It had more brains, more personality, and it actually accomplished more because when I put it in my mouth, it actually does something. It makes me feel good. It makes my breath to other people pleasant. Alright? That accomplishes a lot more than her life. That little Tic Tac. And that's why I called it the Paris Hilton syndrome. Because in our homes, we're not there to create little Paris Hiltons. We're to create people, all right, young people, that will love God with all their heart and soul and might and strength. God help us as parents to put in place things that need to be in our homes, and young people this evening, God help you to correct some of the wrong things as far as appreciation and respect. Ask God to deal with your heart and change you.